This podcast brought to you by Hope 1032.
On Hope 1032, joining us, the author of new book, 138 Dates, the true story of one woman's search for everything. Rebecca Campbell, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you. Lovely to chat.
Now, we need to say at the beginning of this that most people who are single, wanting to find love, embarking on the journey of dating, they kind of just quietly get about the business of doing that. Why did you decide to write a book and be very public about your experiences?
I mean, it was the hardest thing that I've ever done, was to find a partner. And I had a number of businesses. At the time I was writing a business book. And then I was just like, oh, there's so many business books that exist. And really, this is quite boring. And I had this story of, you know, the biggest mess in my life was my personal life. I was single for 10 years and then kind of woke up at age 34 and was like, you know, I really wanted to have a family. And that obviously wasn't happening because I was just focused on my career. And so, you know, that was my mess. And you know, then I went through a kind of 3-year, 138-date process to learn a lot about myself and about dating. But what was at the end was just so... the book has a happy ending. Mm. Found a beautiful partner, you know, built a lovely, awesome relationship, and we now have 2 young kids. So it's just totally transformed my life. And I think what I went through during that process, everything I learned, you know, added so much value to my life, so much more than my business. And I thought if I can kind of share anything with the world, that would be, the story would be the story.
And when we read it, we do get to know that it has a happy ending. You met your husband, Rob, but you don't always know that going into this. Like anyone on the dating journey or anything else in life, you're hoping that it's got the happy ending, but that's not necessarily guaranteed. When you were first starting out, what was it that kept you going through 138 of these dates, believing that there would be that happy ending?
And there's a couple of things. I am naturally optimistic. So I know that I started with this kind of very low base of knowing nothing and I've made all sorts of mistakes. But I did believe that he was out there and that I would find him. And I thought of myself, I mean, there was times where I kind of wavered in whether or not I would find him or not, but I thought of myself as an 80-year-old woman. And I thought, you know, looking back on my life, I wanted to be able to say to that woman that I gave it everything I had because it was so important to me. The family was really important to me and love was really important to me. And so I wanted to be able to say to that older woman, I gave it everything. And so, you know, even when I did think maybe this is not going to work out, I never stopped.
Mm. And you could at least, like you've said, you could at least say, well, if it didn't work out, you had actually tried. And I suppose that's a positive in the mix there. But you do describe this book as not just being about a search for a husband or a search for love, but this search for everything. Why did you describe it like that?
Because I always, you know, thought when I had my family at the end and I looked at my little baby daughter and Roz, and it is everything. And I just couldn't believe that I'd spent so much of my life chasing these other things, you know, like business. And even though, you know, yes, that's important and I'm proud of other things that I've achieved in my life, but really nothing compares to, you know, what I created at the end of it. It is, to me, it's everything.
And you are very vulnerable and honest about the highs and the lows of this journey, some of the embarrassing dates that you go on, the guys that never called you back, all of these sorts of things. But one of the things that you deal with that I think so many would be familiar with is just that first hurdle of deciding to pursue dates intentionally, to jump into the world of online dating. What were some of the main hang-ups for you in doing that?
Well, I had a profile, so I thought people knew me. I mean, it's not a massive profile, but I was embarrassed that people would go, oh, there's Rebecca Campbell on the internet looking for a date. Isn't she supposed to be the successful businesswoman? And so I was worried about that. And then I was worried about getting rejected. I think, I don't know, when you don't date for a long time, you have no idea whether people are going to find you attractive or interesting, you know, so you kind of tell yourself that they probably will, but you just don't know. And there's a fear that maybe they won't. If you don't put yourself out there, you never find out. So you don't ever put yourself up for rejection. Mm. So I was really scared to find, you know, that I might go on dates and people might not find me, like, attractive or interesting. And there was lots of people that obviously didn't because they didn't call me back. But I did get much better. I did get much better at handling the rejection. But it was a real fear at the beginning.
You've got to, like, develop that capacity, and you share the mind games that are going on. That, I mean, I know personally this happens, you know, the way we all talk to ourselves in our minds, and your kind of brain was switching between these moments of great confidence and thinking, yeah, I've got this and I look amazing and it's all working for me. And then that fear of maybe someone will reject me. I need more Botox. I think I'm ugly. All of these things. How did you get the clarity in your mind that allowed you to be comfortable in your own skin and go on date after date, not knowing what the outcome would be?
So I saw a therapist through the whole process, and her advice, is a lot of it's in the book. So there's so many things there. But one piece of advice that stands out was, it was, I think it was my third date, and the guy was really handsome. He was a lawyer, and he kissed me, and I was like, oh, this guy's amazing. My heart was a flutter. And he said, I'll call you tomorrow. And then he never called me back. And I was just so, you know, devastated. I just spent 3 days staring at this phone that was silent and wondering if he'd lost his mobile or lost my number or something. And then I started texting him. But my therapist, I went to the therapist and told her this, and she said, to think of yourself like a product, and that someone out is out there shopping for exactly you. If he doesn't call you back or he's not interested, doesn't mean there's anything wrong with the product that's you. It just means that he's looking for something else. That took the sting out of it for me. It was more like, okay, he's not looking for me, so he's looking for something else. But if I keep looking, I will find someone who is a match for me.
Yeah.
And then she also said, maybe he's not even really shopping. Maybe he's just browsing. Maybe he's not. She said, ripe yet. This is another thing about, you know, how men will often go through their lives. They'll focus on their career and their friends. And then at some point they'll go, okay, I'm going to settle down and look for the right person.
That's the thing, because I was going to ask you about that sort of the ripe idea that was brought up, because for you, you share very honestly about it being 10 years since you had dated anyone. There was a real grief in that for you. You'd lost one of your true loves very young in life, and this was you coming back to find love again. How did you know that you were ready and that you were kind of ripe, as you say, to step out and try and find love?
Well, I always wanted it. I mean, there was grief. Obviously, my first partner was tragically killed when I was 24. So the first few years, I really was not even thinking about dating. But I think, you know, probably 3 or 4 at least years in, I started thinking it would be really nice to have someone in my life. But there was all the fears about what I said before, rejection and looking silly and everything. But then at 34, it was really that the fear of being alone and missing out on having a family and being alone for the rest of my life, that fear kind of overtook the other fear. So they were both there. Yeah. It was just that fear became greater, and that is what pushed me kind of out of my comfort zone onto the dating scene.
It's interesting that you connect it to fear, because oftentimes people will say, you know, you don't want to be motivated by your fears, you want to overcome them, and that fear can be this really destructive thing. But in the way that you talk about it, it sounds like it actually has been a really positive motivator in your life.
Yeah, I mean, I wish I didn't have all the fears, but I mean, it did kind of, yeah. If I hadn't had that other fear of rejection but I mean, maybe everybody has those fears. Then I might have done something sooner. But definitely, I didn't want to be alone. I wanted to find love. And that desire and also that fear of missing out, that is what put me over that edge and made me just go, okay, I'm going to do whatever it takes.
And what makes your journey unique as well is that you combine your business prowess as an entrepreneur with the approach you took to finding love. I mean, there's funnels, there's screening calls, there's all these things that go into it. And I know some people, I mean, you even mentioned this in the book yourself, you look at that process and think, oh, this is a bit clinical, this is a bit, you know, intentional and sort of dry around something that people associate a magic and a romance to. Did you feel that as you were doing this process that maybe some of the magic was missing, or what was your perspective on that through it all?
I think that all the strategies and stuff that I built through the process of my kind of 3 years of dating helped put me in the way of luck, which was, you know, there was one luck, which was when I met my husband at the end. But yeah, there is, it's not a formula. It's not I wish I could just write a book and it's like, this is the formula of how you fall in love, and this is, you know, the exact characteristics that you look for and how you find them. But it's not like that. Like, there is still something magical that happens when two people connect. But I think I did everything I possibly could to put myself in the way of that happening and to prepare myself also to kind of be that person who, you know, could have that happen to them. And then also who could make it work. Because I think even if I met Rod earlier, I mean, I don't know if he would have been interested in kind of the Rebecca, like even, you know, early on in the process. Like I had really transformed myself to get to the point where I was someone who someone like him would find attractive and like. But then also I had the ability to make it work. And that is also something that I learned through the process of dating. It's like, okay, this is what a good one looks like and I'm going to make this work. And then,
And you became
a lot more to it than that, but
Well, and the book is 138 dates. People need to read it and get more of this story. But you really go on this journey of learning how your list, which starts as, you know, you want this smart, tall, kind of good-looking guy, to you start to move towards thinking of personality traits and ways you want them to be and all of these sorts of things. And you really address this idea of the cost of small lies in how we present ourselves to people and authenticity is being important. Can you talk to us more about that idea, this cost of small lies?
I mean, yeah, that was a New York column that I wrote for the New York Times, actually, which was around the kind of lies, the small lies that we tell in business, which became this huge kind of viral hit article. I kind of related it to a date that I was on where I really liked this guy. He was a politician in the New South Wales Parliament, and you know, I was very excited by his status, but he was clearly, I mean, people who are reading the book will go, that guy is not a good match for her. But I didn't see it at the time. And I was changing myself to try and fit what I thought he was looking for.
Mm.
And, yeah, the cost is, I mean, that relationship didn't work out. There was a horrendous ending to it, which was another big mistake. But if it had worked out and I had continued to kind of pretend to be something that was slightly different to who I was and value different things and have different opinions, you know, then you'd end up married to someone who doesn't value what you have to say, and that's a much larger cost.
Thanks for listening. Start your day with Life Words. Subscribe to Hope 1032's free daily email devotional at hope1032.com.au.